T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And here we go.
I'm in over my head.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions? He's got answers. You've got problems? He's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Live from way out behind the station in the News Radio, WRVA Home Improvement Shop. This is the Home Show on a beautiful Memorial Day weekend. My name is Richard McCann, your humble home improvement guru. Welcome, everybody. 345-1140 is the phone number. That's how you get through to the show. Tell me what is going on in your world. First, though, for those who did not hear the early show, Jordan, happy birthday, big boy.
And happy birthday to you as well.
A giant 2-9. You will be a grown-up in just another year.
Yep. So. I will be a married grown-up in another year.
Wow, that's right.
Yeah.
You're getting married next year.
February 29th, baby.
Leap year, huh? That way you only have to celebrate your anniversary every 4 years.
This is true.
This is smart thinking.
Yes.
Very smart. Believe it or not, you know one little fun fact I know about leap year? If you've never read the Guinness Book of World Records, there's a woman. She has 4 children. All 4 of them were born on February 29th, 4 years apart. So I think collectively they're like 6, something like that. 345-1140. Is the phone number. Thanks to everybody that wished me a happy birthday on the old Facebook machine. I do truly appreciate it. It was a wonderful birthday for me. My wife and brother-in-law restored my motorcycle, which I've may put 10 miles on it since 2012. Things get bad, things get weird, but there's always revival, if you will. And in honor of Memorial Day, I'll be leaving with my brother-in-law tomorrow. We're going to go grab some breakfast at a little diner over near the airport called Ma and Pa's. And at 8 o'clock in the morning, we are leaving for D.C. To go to Rolling Thunder. It's going to be the last one. It's the 30th anniversary. It is a dedication to veterans. To honor fallen veterans, and if you want to join me, meet us. We'll roll. I have not put that kind of miles on a motorcycle in years, and my shoulder feels like garbage. But hey, want to be part of something historic. And they said that they're going to start doing, because Rolling Thunder as a charity is not going to end. They're encouraging people to start their own local versions of it. So I will be contacting them for next year. We'll see what happens. 345-1140. Sylvia and Glen Allen.
Hi.
Hi, Sylvia.
How are you?
Excellent.
So I have a question. My air conditioner, I live in a townhouse that's about 10 years old, and I've lived there for 5 years. And every year I've had to have a service company come out because one of the units, the upstairs unit, doesn't work. And they keep putting in Freon. And 2 years ago, I had, I can't remember what the initials are, TXB or something like that, some unit that is connected to the coil. I had that replaced. And then this year, it's still not working. So I had the company that you always recommend come out, and they told me that I needed to change the coil in that TXB part to the tune of $21.50. So I said, okay, well, I guess I don't have a choice. And the technician said, you know, if you get it fixed properly, you shouldn't have to put more money into it because air conditioning units usually will last about 20 years.
Exactly.
Especially if they're maintained. But now I'm having second thoughts because everybody I talk to says, oh, you shouldn't spend $21.50 fixing it. You should just buy a whole new unit. So, what is your thought on that?
All right.
I'm not a.
You're not a...
I'm not an expert at all in this. All I know is that I just keep pouring money into this, and I have two units in the house, so I'm going to make a mistake on one. I don't want to make a mistake on the second one when it comes down to that time.
All right.
So I was wondering what your thought was.
Okay, well, here's my thing. I know you're talking about my company, Bremac.
Yes.
Bremac has been...
Wonderful people.
Thank you. They have been with me for 11 years. Okay?
Yeah.
That's longer than my first marriage lasted. here's what I'm going to advise. If they say do something for $2,100, do it. I mean, if you're going to replace all of it, you're probably looking close to five or six.
Right.
Okay. Now, granted, you can finance it, but do you want to? They're right. Most HVAC systems last about 20 years. Once they hit 20 years, we start looking at, you know, putting in a new unit. But in 11 years, and I know it sounds like I'm really kissing their backsides, but I don't do that. I've had zero complaints.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when I was in the trades, I couldn't say I had zero complaints. Okay. So, I'm going to go with what they say and then set yourself up on one of their service plans.
Yeah, I already did that.
Okay, you're paying $17 a month?
Actually, I just paid the whole year up front because apparently when the technician came out to service the unit that was working fine, he went to open it up and he said, "Oh, my God, this thing's never been serviced." I said, "What do you mean it hasn't been serviced? I have it serviced every year." And he said, "No, all the factory ceiling stuff is still on there. Nobody's ever opened it up." And he opened it up and it was disgusting.
Okay, yeah. I'm glad you... Oh, no. So you haven't had it serviced. You've had it worked on. Two different things.
Exactly.
Okay, so I'm glad you paid for the year. That means they'll come out twice a year. But after that, and all the other listeners that are looking for something, they have a plan. It's like $17 a month, I think. Do not quote me on that. I know it's less than $20. And it comes right off your credit card, and they put you on a schedule. So it's already paid. By the time they get there, it's already paid for.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if they...
I don't remember exactly how it broke down because, of course, I paid $383, but it wasn't for just the service. He had to actually do the diagnosis of what was wrong. So I don't exactly know, but I just put me on a plan. Make sure that you come out and do what you have to do.
Exactly.
So I don't have worries.
Yeah, and if they fix it right. And the thing is, say there is some kind of additional snafu, they're gonna take care of you. They want you to be happy because in this world that we live in, as wonderful as it is, 100 people can be happy and not say a word. One person
right.
will be unhappy and they will shout it from the mountaintops. So
right.
they want all their customers to be happy.
Well, can I ask you one more question then? Since it's so hot and they've got to order the part, and they said it would be 5 to 7 business days before they would get it, and they couldn't schedule me until they actually had the part, which makes sense. I understand
right,
that.
It makes perfect sense.
They came and they put in two window units for me.
Sure.
But when the different technician came, I've never seen these window units. I've seen them outside, but I've never had one. It's not bolted into anything. All he did was put it in the window and close the window. Is that enough?
It is exactly what I did at my house yesterday.
So you don't need to bolt it into anything? Like if a big wind comes, won't it like lift the unit and lift the window?
If a big wind can pick up a 60 or 70 pound window unit, I would be heading for my basement. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
All right.
I was thinking of going and buying some dowels and just sticking them, where.
Sylvia, you're overthinking it, sweetheart.
I don't know. As you can see, I don't know anything about this. But
you know what you do? You push the button that says cool and say, that's all you do.
Yeah, okay. So I don't need to go and buy dowels and all of that.
No.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it, and I love your show.
Oh, thank you. And your call has just set the pace for the rest of this show, I hope.
I'm sure, because I'm sure you're going to get a lot of air conditioning calls.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be hot. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
Thank you. Have a good Memorial Day weekend.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
This is The Home Show, News Radio WRVA. WRVA. Hey, by the way, hey, Jordan, I don't think I can any longer call my think of myself as one of the tougher guys in the building. You know, I mean, I think I come from a different world than most of
right.
But
yeah.
Do you know Stephen Walker in our advertising department?
No.
Steve is he's helped me with a couple of, you know, sponsors and stuff like that. We all here at the home show want to wish him a speedy recovery because last night he was driving his son's truck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All of a sudden, the brakes and the steering went out.
How fast was he going?
Not overly fast from what I can tell. 5 miles an hour. He was just...
Oh, okay.
Okay. And so lost steering, lost brakes. So what does he do? He dives out of the truck just before it slams into a tree.
At five.
It's... You know what? Diving out of a truck is diving out of a truck.
Yeah,
I don't care.
I mean,
who
you're bailing. You're tucking and rolling.
I don't think I'd even think to bail. I'd just be like, "Oh, this is gonna suck," and just slam into a tree. But he twisted his knee. He's gonna be fine. No broken bones. But I'm still saying that's cool. I mean, he went Lethal Weapon on it. You know.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers. There you go. Get better soon, Steven. 345-1140. Since I know I have different listeners for the early and later show, I just wanted to follow up with everybody. I mean, last week I said something about getting a dog, and oh my, that was the floodgates. And everybody was giving me 1,000 different suggestions. All good ones, by the way. And I learned everybody has their own preference. Everybody has their ideal of temperament, size, aggressiveness. The whole time I was saying, you know, a medium-sized dog. You know, I've had big dogs. I've had shepherds. I wanted something a little smaller. But it was my wife's decision. I'm okay with it. She's never had a dog. I wanted her to get one. I knew she had all the love and patience for it. And Tuesday, I came home to adoption. I got invited out to Farquaw Farms to check out a TV show that was being filmed. No, I wasn't in it, but I did want to see a house from the 1700s, which was so cool. I mean, the really low doorways, the oak floors. I mean, it was a really neat house. And then it was a TV show where they're filming about headlines that actually ran but were not true. And I know Bigfoot was involved, which means it takes place in Pennsylvania because there's no Bigfoot sightings in Virginia. Pennsylvania is the most cited of Bigfoot. Yeah, it's true. So I went out there and I come home and my wife has gotten us a puppy. Yeah, a puppy, not a dog. And it is a dachshund. That's how you pronounce it, I believe. It's a long-haired dachshund. And I'm like, really? We got a dachshund. Okay. Again, I'm not the toughest guy in the room. He broke my heart right there. I was just like, oh, he's so cute. And, you know, he's very quickly become my buddy. We named him Oscar. But here's the funny part. Like I said, she's never had a dog. She's had cats. And neither one of us have kids. All right. But you know how parents, and I don't believe in this whole, you know, dog parent thing, you know, furry kid. I'm sorry. I believe in owner and pet. It's just me. Grew up on a farm. But you know how when a couple has their first child and they are OCD nonstop, you know, it's like, oh, what if he eats something? What if he sticks his finger in something? What if he touches something? What if this? And by the second kid, they're like, whatever. What? He's eating something he found off the floor. He'll be fine. Oh, he ate that? No, don't let him eat that. That's bad. my wife has been... I called her earlier and just to see how she's doing. And all I hear when she's home is, Oscar, no. No, don't do that. Oscar, get down. Oscar, don't touch that. Oscar, don't eat that. Oh, and of course I said last week, no dogs in the bed. I think that, yeah, where did the dog sleep? Dog sleeps in the bed. 345-1140. Bob in Midlothian.
Hey, man, I want to correct you on your pronunciation of your dog.
Okay, please.
It's called a wiener dog.
Why do you think I named him Oscar?
Thanks, man.
Thank you. Called a wiener dog. No, that is why we named him Oscar. And it fits. It fits. He's like, it's the cutest thing in the world. But I put up on my Facebook page, there's a link to making sure your house is safe for a new dog, more specifically puppies. And there's a few things that I did know, but a couple I didn't. And I'm really quickly, as I said, most people listen to the early show. If you are thinking about getting a new pet, specifically a dog, a couple of things I would advise. One, be very, very careful with them chewing on electrical cords. I've talked to vets about it. I've seen it. I've seen one puppy do it, and not mine, but somebody else's. And I've talked to vets about it, and they said it's really common for someone to bring in a puppy that has little burn marks on the inside of its mouth, right there at the edges. And it's because they were chewing on an electrical cord and it shorted out. It hurts them, it burns them, and it could kill them. So be very, very careful of electrical cords. Most of the other stuff, it's just like, I mean, literally, it's like prepping for a kid, except for one thing I never thought of, which was taking the trash can in the bathroom and moving it up. Because some of the stuff that we put in our bathroom trash cans, I'm sorry, we're grown-ups, sanitary products and razors both can really hurt your dog. So I didn't even think about that. And I've never had a dog dig in the trash, but it could happen. So if you want to see a bunch of other tips, and there's a lot of them, go to my Facebook page, Richard McCann. That's McKANN. I will tell you how life goes, but it is the funniest thing in the world. No, Oscar, no. No. Oh, he's chewing on that. Stop chewing on that. No, don't do that. Don't. I'm like, she told me that she wants to pull all the weeds in the yard because he chews on the grass. And I'm like, honey, he's a dog. He's going to eat some of the nastiest stuff you've ever seen in your life. So it's been a pretty good week at Casa de McCann. 345-1140 is the phone number. That's how you get through to News Radio WRVA. Don't forget, download the radio.com app. That way you can listen to the show wherever you go. And if you miss any part of it, the early show was great. You miss any part of it, you can always go to WRVA.com. Download the podcast. That way you can listen to us anytime you want. It goes all the way back to last May. This is the home show. News Radio WRVA 345-1140 is the phone number. If you have been listening to the news with Mr. Dennis Edwards, you will realize that we have been running a story. In fact, we talked about it in the earlier show. There has been no breaking news on it, but there is a manhunt going on for a homicide suspect and a missing Cumberland County woman. This happened Friday at 3 a.m. is the last time she was seen. At 6 a.m. there was a 911 call in Cumberland. Subsequently, after what the suspect in the crime was found, was reported as to, or is believed to have carjacked a woman in a white Honda Civic. So right now, they are saying that this woman is in danger. And if you are on the roads, and I know a lot of you are, please keep your eyes out. This should be something easy to find if you see it. It's a white Honda Civic. It's 2012, but let's face it. Sorry, Honda. You haven't changed your designs all that much. 2012 is a pretty standard size. It's the larger of them. And it is white, and it has a Virginia license plate of, this is easy, LAR64. That's LAR64. If you see this car, please call 911, and they will put you through to whoever you have. The state police are scouring everywhere. The suspect is from a county just outside of Baltimore, and if any of you know Cumberland, there's not a lot there. I should know. I'm originally from there, so this is pretty gruesome story so far. What details we have? We don't have many. We know that a man was killed in his home, that someone called 911, and a woman that was living in that house is now missing. And they do have a suspect. You can see the whole entire story at WRVA.com. Unless he's got, you know, some brain cells and he has shaved, he is going to be sticking out like a sore thumb, okay? He looks like Kid Rock and ZZ Top had an illegitimate kid. Long, scraggly beard, and I do mean long, like middle of the chest long, both forearms completely tattooed. And I'd say, judging from it, he probably weighs maybe a buck 65, a buck 70. So keep your eyes out. White Honda Civic, LAR64. If anything breaks in this story, we will go straight to it because I don't know. This is awful. You know, I hope for the best. I prepare for the worst. That's what I do. Also, everybody, this is Memorial Day weekend. Everybody kind of knows that. I tell you what, the Radio Factory did, because I showed up here like 11:30, almost 12. Yeah, I was here at like 11:30. And it was like a ghost town. It was like, wah, wah, wah. I mean, there was nobody here.
we just had a caller call in saying that he said he used to be a state trooper. He said that the guy from Cumberland involved in this story has been caught in the last few hours. It's the woman and the vehicle that are still missing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we need to verify it with Dennis to be
all right,
100% accurate.
Yeah, please tell that to Dennis. I can keep talking to the break. Thank you very much. 345-1140. I mean, sometimes details happen and they don't break quite as fast as we want them to, you know, and maybe that's a good thing. I've been saying for a while, this whole 24-hour news cycle, though entertaining, sometimes details do are wrong. And it's because things are being pumped out so very, very quickly. With any luck, everything will work out. As I was saying, though, it is Memorial Day weekend, and that means a lot of people are on the road. And I know it sounds ridiculous. I know this sounds silly for me to even have to say this, but let's be very, very careful out there. One, it's one of the busiest travel days of the year. I think 4th of July and Thanksgiving are number one. I could be wrong in that detail, but there's going to be a lot of motorcycles on the road. A lot of people are going to be heading up to D.C. for Rolling Thunder. As I said earlier, I'm going to be going, hopefully. My shoulders give me a little bit of trouble, but we'll see what happens. Icy hot patches, they usually do the trick. But for us that ride two wheels, it's hard enough for us to concentrate on what we're doing. If you've never ridden a motorcycle, and I think most people have at some point or at least been on one, it is the most focused thing I do. I mean, even doing radio, I kind of have to cover a couple of different bases at the same time, but I can do it. When you're riding a motorcycle, it is 100% focus, and the worst thing we have to deal with out there is other drivers. Cars, trucks, big rigs. Believe it or not, big rigs see us better than anybody else. They've been sharing the road with motorcycles forever. And if you ever wonder why a motorcycle passes a big rig so fast, I mean, I don't care. I will go 30 miles over the speed limit to pass a semi truck because they do cause a vacuum. We're taught in the motorcycle safety class and get past rigs as fast as you can. Because you don't want to be next to them. I certainly don't. It's a terrifying place to be. But I want to remind you, just look out for those two wheels on the road, please. Because the life you save could be mine. And I'm a newlywed. I really don't want to get run over. And also, if you're going to be celebrating this weekend, which a lot of people do, the unofficial start of summer, awesome. That is fantastic. Have a hot dog on me. And remember, no ketchup. Ketchup does not go on a hot dog. Ever. No. What's that look? You're
debatable.
No. Actually, it's not even slightly debatable. Okay, look, little kids can eat ketchup on a hot dog, but I swear to you, I listened to an interview with the president of the National Hot Dog Association, and he said, boys, about the time they start to recognize girls, should stop eating ketchup on a hot dog. And I'm pretty sure you've started to notice girls. I'm fairly certain.
Yeah.
So no ketchup on a hot dog. Mustard.
Well, yeah.
And sauerkraut. That's it.
Meh.
That's the perfect dog, dude.
Chili, onions.
I'm down. I'm good. I'm good. Awesome. A big old pickle, like a Chicago dog. You don't like pickles?
Only on like a Whopper or like a cheeseburger or something.
It completely goes against my diet, what I have fallen in love with, though, and I would probably kill somebody for right now, but I'm not allowed carbs, is hot dog on a pretzel roll.
Oh,
I know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been without carbs for so darn long, I'd probably just chop the bun up and just, oh, carbs, yeah, so good, shoot it up. But if you're going out, you're going to go to the cookout or whatever, please be careful about your adult beverage intake, okay? You got to drive. The cops are everywhere. They are out in force, and it is not worth it. No beer is drinking some Patty Van Winkle isn't worth a DUI. All right, get a designated driver, or take an Uber or a Lyft, whatever makes you happy. I don't care, but please don't drink and drive. 345-1140 is the phone number. That's how you get through to the show, because I have a lot to talk about today. As I said earlier, I made mistakes when I was younger. And those mistakes were I was trying to be a tough guy. That's what happens. You're young. You're working with, older guys on a construction site. And, you kind of get into this, tough guy mentality. So when these people bring up suggestions of certain things that you should do, to keep yourself safe, there's inevitably some guy like, man, you can't do nothing with gloves on. I heard my father used to say that. You can't do nothing with gloves on. Well, that has resulted in certain things that I am dealing with. As I told you, I've gotten older. That's just damage. Just straight up damage. Wear and tear. If you've ever gone to a plumbing house, where a plumbing supply house, and you look down the counter and you see all these guys in their late 60s, and then you realize they're in their early 50s, maybe 40s, you start to realize things that you should have done smarter. Now, us older guys, we didn't have as many options as we do now, so I want to go over some things I think you should have in your quiver, your repartee, next to your toolbox, if you're planning on doing anything around the house, anything home improvement. And the first thing I'm going to say is, gloves. Now, growing up, we had very limited options on gloves. Most of them were clunky, like the old brown jersey gloves. They're like $1 a pair. And the moment you put them on, they fit. And the second they get wet, they just kind of dissolve and turn into these big clumpy things. And you could get absolutely nothing done. I mean, maybe if you're carrying some lumber, but if you were trying to work with a drill or do anything fine, you just couldn't do it. Then Mechanics came out. Yes, I'm saying the brand. And since Mechanics has come out, there is probably 100 different clones of those gloves out there. I'm going to tell you right now, spend the 20, the 30, the 40 bucks, whatever it costs. You don't have to. They're selling for some versions like $10. Get some good gloves and protect your hands. Trust me, your arthritis fingers will appreciate it later. Take it from me. Should have worn gloves more often. This is the Home Show, News Radio, WRVA.
Richard
McCann News Radio, WRVA. This just in was shared to me by Kirk Akey. By the way, Kirk, I hope you're feeling better. Kidney stones, bad news. This is from our local CBS, our Channel 6 affiliate. Cumberland County, Virginia, a man wanted for murdering a man and abducting a woman in Cumberland County was apprehended following a chase in North Carolina. I said to a friend of mine, if the guy has half a brain, he'll go anywhere but north. Officials say 41 George William Kinsley IV of Carroll County, Maryland, was involved in a pursuit with Raleigh police after he stole a third car Friday. Okay, he all got all the way to Raleigh. Raleigh police took Kinsley into custody, and he is being held on a first-degree murder charge from Cumberland County, Virginia. Virginia State Police Public Relations Director Corinne and Geller said additional charges are pending. State police previously issued a critically missing adult alert for 43-year-old who was last seen Friday at 3:16 a.m. at her home at 25 Mount Airy Road in Cumberland. Fabian is described as a white female, 5 feet, 8 inches tall, and weighing 124 pounds. She has brown eyes. There's no word on what she was wearing. If you have any information, please call 911. I'm not going to give you all the other numbers. Just call 911. Deputies with the Cumberland County Sheriff's Office received a 911 call about a homicide at a home 200 block. Upon arriving at the location, an adult male was found deceased inside the residence. Police say Fabian, who also lived at the home, was not located. Deputies said Kinsley IV is suspect in the homicide and Fabian's disappearance. Kinsley is described as a white male, 5 feet 8 inches. This is just old information right here. So from what I am, let me see. Additionally, the South Hill Police Department received a 911 call at about 6:30 a.m. Friday from a woman who said she had been carjacked. A male fit Kinsley's strip and threatened the woman at gunpoint and stole her 2013 Civic. That woman was not hurt. Okay, so he's been arrested in Raleigh, but we still have no information about the woman who was abducted. We will keep you abreast of the situation here on News Radio 1140 WRVA as things break. Terrible situation. I sometimes wonder what possesses people, what drives people. It's more than even I can understand. Not that I'm anything special, but sometimes I just can't wrap my head around it. So, you know, this is a home show, and I wanted to tell you about things that I really wish I had used back in the day, and I really hope you pick up and have in your home if you're going to be doing any type of home improvement. Now, here's what I got to say up front. The technology today versus when I was in the trades is vastly superior. Vastly superior and not as expensive as you would think. Now, one of the things I was always told, you know, use knee pads. You're going to crawl, use knee pads. My problem was the tech that we had back in the day was pretty awful. I mean, all it did was it would either catch and pull up the vapor barriers underneath people's houses, which is not something we want to deal with, or it would just bunch up under my legs and cut off the circulation to the point I just get frustrated and say, forget this, I'll just do without. Well, that was fine then, but it's not good now. What they have these days, vastly superior. Different types of straps. They strap around different parts of the leg, some higher, some lower. Some have flat spots on them so you can be on your knees kneeling. I could never do that in the old knee pads. I mean, basically, they were just cheap football pads is what we used back in the day. Now they have gel in them, which is helps with the impact. I'm telling you, folks, if you're going to be doing anything around the house, you're going to be doing gardening, you're going to be doing some flooring, maybe not a painting, but if you have this, if you're going to be doing anything on your knees, get yourself some really good quality knee pads. I've seen them as really nice ones as cheap as $35. $35 versus dealing with knee pain in your 40s, please go out and do it. Another thing, like I said, good gloves. Get something that's form-fitting. They're not nearly expensive as they used to be. I've seen some as cheap as $10. I'll probably pick up a pair on the way home. I realize today I don't have any motorcycle gloves. So get yourself some gloves. I can show you probably 15 scars on my hands alone. In fact, years and years and years ago, about the same time I started talking to you, I had a friend who was a hand model. Yeah, she made money with just her hands. And I said, do you think I could be a hand model? I put my hands out like this. And she said, no. Didn't even take a breath. Just said, looked at my hands and went, you can't be a hand model. No, you suck. So that's something I would say. Back braces when in my day were not very good. It would have been something is better than nothing. Now they have them with different straps, different bracing in them. Definitely, if you're going to be doing any lifting, one of the ways I'm pretty sure I hurt my back was lifting a well lid. I felt something pop when I was about 17. About a year or so later, my father believes that it was one of the things that hurt me is we were lifting a 55-gallon drum of oil, 8.25 pounds per gallon. Wasn't exactly full. It's like 50 gallons. We lifted it. We got it in that truck. It hurt. Should have been wearing a brace. Actually, we should have done something different. Eye protection is also important. I never wore eye protection. I wear glasses now, but I never wore eye protection. And there's more than one time, you know, that you never would have thought about it. And my father regrets this to this day. I'm fine. You know, sometimes something happens and it just sticks in your brain like it won't go away. Even though nothing happened, it does not go away. Is we were in a basement and we were putting in a new electrical panel. My dad loves putting in electrical panels. It's like his favorite thing to do. And the power's off. We had no drop lights. So I'm standing there with a flashlight. I'm not wearing safety glasses. Neither is he. Who would have thought about it? And I'm standing there with a flashlight right next to him. So I'm holding the flashlight while he's manipulating the wires. And a wire came loose from his fingers and just sprung right up and hit me right square in the middle of my eyeball. Now, that hurt bad, and my father, I've never seen my father panic before. He was panicked. He thought he had just blinded his son. He didn't. It hurt. It's fine. I'm not worried about it. I'm not trying to stir up old stuff, but all I had to do is wear safety glasses. I encourage my wife to wear safety glasses when she does anything, sanding, painting, all of it. I make sure she does. By the way, here's the funniest thing she came up with that I have never seen before, and I will laugh about until the day I die. She was sanding a joint compound in our house because she'd been working on some walls, and she realized the dust was really kicking up. So she stopped, went and took a shower. The next day, I come home, and she's back to sanding, sanding the walls, and she's wearing a shower cap. I thought that was the most genius thing I've ever seen in my life. Looks silly, but it was awesome. I'm like, I would never have thought about that in my entire life. You're going to be sanding or painting, ladies? Find a shower cap. Keep that stuff out of your hair. And last thing I'm going to do, get some ear protection because most of your tools are very, very loud. Some are getting quieter. Most of your cordless stuff is even quieter than it was. But wear some good ear protection or at least a set of earplugs. Your hearing, once that's starts to fade, it really is not a pleasant thing. My ears are the only thing that have been unaffected by my career. So there you go. My name is Richard McCann. The phone number is 345-1140. That's 345-1140. I do encourage you to follow me on Facebook. I post a lot of stories that some I get to and some I do not. Check me out. That way you can see that. Also, follow me on Twitter. A lot of stuff ends up on Twitter. Also, if you missed any of the stories from today, don't worry. You can always go to WRVA.com. Download podcasts of the show. We go back to over a year of podcasts. That's like a trip from here to California and back. It'll be great. And download the radio.com app. It's time for news with Mr. Dennis Edwards, who I'm sure is keeping his finger right on the pulse. When we get back, more news and a home show with me, Richard McCann, on News Radio, 1140 WRVA and 96.1 FM.
here we go.
I'm in over my head.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions? He's got answers. You've got problems? He's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Welcome to our number dose of the Home Show on News Radio WRVA. My name is Richard McCann, your humble home improvement guru. Remember, we are News Radio WRVA. Some breaking news and a story you and I about earlier in our early show. You want to go ahead and explain the story as we...
Well, let's get down to the basics.
Let's start how it started and see where
we're going. Well, let's go to the breaking news at this point right now. What we understand is that police have already arrested 41-year-old, what is his name here? I have it written down.
Kinsley, George William Kinsley?
Yeah, his 41-year-old William Nisley, K-N-I-S-L-E-Y.
He's
the suspect in the abduction of 43-year-old Amy Renee Fabian. She has not been found yet, but we have learned that, and we've been able to confirm, that Nisley has been arrested down in Raleigh, North Carolina, after a high-speed chase involving police in that area. The problem at this point is they haven't been able to find Amy Renee Fabian. She's been missing since Friday, when apparently, from what police are telling us at this point, Nisley abducted her and is accused of killing the man she lived with.
Do we
and
have
then
a
fleeing.
Name for the man that's the victim?
No,
I have
they
not
have
heard.
Not. They have not released his name at this point. The truth of the matter is we don't know what his name is, but we do know he was living with Fabian at the time. And what's happening now is they have caught Nisley, who is the primary suspect. He not only did that, but he also carjacked a car at gunpoint and that kind of thing. But I think what's happening now is they don't know at this stage what happened to or where Fabian is. I understand as well that the vehicle, the 2013 Honda that he took in a carjacking, has not been located either. So
no,
they've
not
got him, but they don't have her.
No, it has been located. And just to add to what news is breaking, Raleigh, as you said, was doing a high-speed chase. This was after he did a third. He stole a third car.
A third car.
I mean, because there was a Ford. Was it F-350, I believe, or 250?
Well, that was his vehicle that he drove at one point. That wasn't one of the vehicles that was hijacked. That was his vehicle. He wound up driving that to Cumberland to encounter Fabian and her family or her friend or whatever else.
Allegedly.
And then, well, that's true. But that's what the narrative is. And from what the police are telling us, after he left there, he apparently took her, and there was the carjacking of a 2013 Honda.
And that was in South Hill.
In that area. And so he apparently went south and went to Raleigh, North Carolina, which makes sense. It's right off 83. You take one, you go down to Raleigh in that area, and he's involved in some kind of high-speed chase with a Raleigh police officer. They get him. They have him in custody. But the mystery right now is what happened to Fabian. Where is the car? And there's a number of vehicles at this point that were carjacked. We need to get more details on that to find out what the chronology is on it. But that's what we're looking at right now. This story has escalated very rapidly. We now know that he headed south. He didn't head up in this direction. And so we are really trying to find out right now from the state police what happened to Fabian. And the fear is that they may be trying to find out right now themselves. And we just don't know at this stage.
I could find out. Take me about 10 minutes.
Well, you know, it's possible you could, but at this stage, it's a rapidly developing story. And what's interesting about it is that the suspect involved has been involved in several kinds of violent confrontations.
Now, I haven't heard anything about that. What do you know?
The first one we know about is when he went to the house in Cumberland where Fabian was staying with the man she lived with.
I see what you're saying.
And, of course, no one has said at this stage exactly what the what the method or how the person died in that house, but he has been a suspect from the beginning. And they knew from the beginning, basically, that she had been abducted. The question now is who reported it? Was it Fabian who reported it? You and I talked about that.
This is where I, you know, and being a conspiracy theorist and not a reporter like yourself, I mean, one, I'm going to, we know that he had a weapon. We know that he had a firearm. because he did a carjacking with a firearm. So we've got that's where the armed and dangerous part came in. I'm having a really hard time. I keep coming back to in my thinking, who called 911?
Well, we don't know, and that's part of the investigation. We do know that whatever went on around the phone call, there was a degree of certainty on the part of the state police and Cumberland police that she had been abducted. We can't make any determinations at this point as to what was going on, but they knew that she had been abducted, and they knew that Nisley was the guy who did the abducting. And so we can speculate, but we want to stay away from that until they come out and tell us what's going on.
That's your job not to speculate. It's not my job to speculate.
Well, you can't help yourself.
And I don't want to. I mean, I have questions like, how is some guy from the outside of Baltimore involved with some people in Cumberland?
Well, you know, I think you pointed out earlier, there's always the internet in different relationships. You don't know how long this relationship went on. You don't know what the relationships were. But whatever it was, he came from Carroll County, which is a pretty good amount of time and distance. And he was at the home that she lived in with this unidentified victim.
I mean, knowing Cumberland as I do, I mean, from Cumberland to Baltimore or just outside of Baltimore, you think you said it was west? Because you're a Baltimore.
Well, yeah, Carroll County is actually north.
North.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're looking at the very least, 45 minutes.
Yes.
I mean, that's a long way to go in a F-250 service body.
Well, you know, you're talking about a vehicle that he drove down, went to the house, left from what the police told us earlier, left the house with that truck, and then carjacked the 2013 Honda. And then from there, he proceeds, presumably, and we don't know, well, the presumption at the time was that he proceeded with the woman who was involved. He proceeded with her and then drove away. Now, what happened with her or to her after the 2013 vehicle, the Honda, was carjacked, we don't know. And that's where the search continues. There's no one who's indicated any end to the search for her or anything along those lines. So we're looking at a situation that's still developing at this point. And I think at this point, the major concern is Amy Renee Fabian, 43 years old. They don't know exactly what's going on with her, or they haven't said at this point.
All right. Well, I mean, we're going to keep up with this story. Dennis Edwards, thank you so much. If anything breaks, please let me know.
Oh, yeah, we'll tell you as soon as we know. I think they're putting it together now. He hasn't been in custody very long.
No.
And this apparently was a high-speed chase, so that's pretty intense. They've got to get their information together, and as they do, we're going to bring it back to you. I'll come back in and visit with you.
And we all know that, I mean, things like this are incredibly time-sensitive, so I know that they're doing their absolute best. I mean, I feel for everybody in this situation.
It's really rough. It's rough at this point. At this point, you just don't know what's going on, but we do know they have an arrest. They've got him. So now they've got to go back and put all the other pieces together, and you can't help but your heart can't help but go out to the young lady who is involved, Fabian. You're hoping that she's found safely.
You know, I'm not a police officer, but if I was, I'd be focusing between South Hill and Cumberland.
Apparently, it looks like that's where they're going to be, and the question is where he went from there and how much time it took him to do it. It may not be as hard to find out, but they're going to have to go back, and also they're questioning him at this point to find out whether he's going to say something or whatever else, but he's already charged with one charge of murder. So that's what we're looking at right now in the case of the person that she lived with, whose name we don't know.
Who we don't know. Dennis Edwards, thank you for covering all the news, keeping that finger right on the pulse. That's why we're called News Radio WRVA.
That's right.
1140 AM, 96.1 FM. My name is Richard McCann. You can call me 345-1140. This is The Home Show, News Radio WRVA. McCann News Radio, WRVA. Thanks to Dennis for keeping us up on this story. Okay, we need to lighten things up. You know what we really need to lighten something up? I think it's that time. That is not the bumper I'm looking for. There we go. I just read a story, and I didn't know this even existed. I mean, we all played the game back in the day, but what if it's real? That's right. I just found this story the other day. It's from a website called... Now, Jordan, do you watch MMA? You're kind of a sports guy.
Yeah, I like MMA.
Okay. I'm not. I'm not a big sport. I'm not a big MMA guy. If I want blood sport, I mean, might as well give them swords, you know. But I found a website called FightState.com.
Yeah.
You know it? Okay.
It's probably just a blog.
No, it covers MMA, boxing, wrestling, and Muay Thai.
Okay.
And here's the thing, and I don't know much about the West Coast except they're kind of crazy, but. It turns out that in Washington State, they have a mutual combat law that lets two people have a consensual street fight if cops referee. Meaning, you got a beef with somebody at the club. What, you looking at my girl? Yeah, I'm looking at your girl. You can just grab a cop and say, I'm going to kick his butt. And the other guy says, nah, I'm kicking his butt. And you can have mutual street fight.
It's basically instead of a gunslinging duel, it's fisticuffs.
Which, I'm not trying to be crude or prehistoric, but that's kind of the way we settled things for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Okay, now these days, you know, some punk comes up to you and his polo shirt is too pretty. You know, even he deserves a smack in the head. You know he's going to sue you. If you live in Washington, you don't have to worry about this because Washington has very cool law that allows two students to engage in fisticuffs as long as both parties agree to it. Fighting to resolve a conflict has been part of the human nature long before we ever discovered fire stopped living in the caves. All right, remember now, this is not my words. You can turn that off. This is not my words. This is from this website, okay? I just found the fact that this existed mind-blowing. And understand, I remember when I was young, we worked at a school. It was a Catholic school that in a closet in the lobby, they had foam boppers. Remember foam boppers? They're just foam. You remember them? Like little foam swords. And if kids were just getting into it, they would just give these kids foam boppers and let them bop each other in the head until they were done. Yeah. What a strange trip it is to go back in time, isn't it? Okay, fighting to resolve conflict, blah, blah, blah. However, there's very little honor left these days. So, again, not my words. You have to be careful who fight, who's going to cry and tattletale because they lost. In Seattle, there are actual laws that allow two adults to enter into fair combat, meaning you can't bring a knife to a fist fight. You both have to be fisticuffs. On their own free will without breaking the law. So if you say to the cop, I'm in, and the other guy says, I'm in, you guys can go at it. I imagine they'll stop it before anybody gets killed. Wild brawls in the street are dangerous. They are. If you've ever been in an area, I'm sorry, I don't understand. Okay, if you've ever been in an area like a nightclub area or a place where a lot of people are on the streets and a small fight breaks out, two people have a beef, inevitably what it becomes is an absolute down-and-out, throw-down brawl, which means people get hurt. Some people that weren't even involved in it, you have people in the sidelines that get in, you know, get hit. It's a terrible situation. What they've done here is they have... basically created a situation, a law where two people can just beef it out, call it a day, and walk away. And in Seattle, there's a team of superheroes. This is true. I have seen documentation about these. There's a group of superheroes that roam the streets in costumes looking for anyone that wants to start something. In other words, Phoenix Jones. Have you ever heard of Phoenix Jones? Oh, Phoenix Jones is legendary. Phoenix Jones and his crew are the most well-known. He's been shot. This guy's been shot trying to stop fights. He had his nose broken trying to stop fights. And plenty of other injuries in the line of duty. He's also an MMA fighter. His former coach said he could have made it into the UFC, except he threw it all away to run around fighting bad guys in Capitol Hill. In other words, this guy was a fighter. He wanted to stop fighting people that were fighting unnecessarily. He gave up a career of making money so he could get shot and stabbed. Well, here's the most well video, blah, blah, blah. So I just wanted to think, when I saw this, I don't know if I thought it was funny, if I thought it was revolutionary. I don't even know what I thought, to be honest with you. But it does make me kind of think, one of the more liberal states, yes, I'm throwing out that word, liberal, very liberal. It's the West Coast. It's fine. If you want to live that way, live that way. I don't care. Your political views are yours, mine are mine. They don't really come on. But the fact that they passed a law where two people can just settle a beef right then and there with police present, I don't know what to think about that. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I mean, the ideal thing is there's no beef at all. Usually fights start off over something really stupid, and usually there's alcohol or something else involved. Let's face it. How many people do you know said, I got in a fight. Were you drinking? Yeah. But I just found this story absolutely fascinating. So if you want to read this story, it is on my Facebook page, Richard McCann, McCann. Again, it's Memorial Day weekend, reminding you again, and I'm going to do this at least one more time before the end of the day. One, this weekend is the final weekend after 30 years of Rolling Thunder. This means hundreds of thousands. I think they said 100,000. That's a lot of bikes. I don't know if you've ever been around that many motorcycles. It's pretty darn intense. Are going to be rolling in to D.C. Now, I have checked their website. It starts today and goes all the way through Memorial Day. That is a lot of motorcycles on the road. And being someone that rides a bike myself, my brother-in-law rides, and all my dearest friends ride motorcycles, I want to please ask you to be extra, extra careful out on the roads. I'm not scared really of dropping my bike. I'm not. I've done it. It's not a big deal. What I'm more scared of is cars pulling out in front of me. That has happened. Cars stopping fast in front of me. That has happened. Cars changing lanes on me because they didn't pay attention. That has happened. I mean, one time years ago, I was cruising down Route 5. I was not exceeding the speed limit. I think I was a little bit under. And a panel truck pulled out in front of me. I slammed on my brakes, and my friends, except for the grace of God himself, I was about to go splat on the side of that truck. For some reason, and I'll never know why, my bike started to fishtail sideways. I dumped the clutch and managed to drive around him. I don't think I've ever been so scared. This is the home show. WRBA, happy Memorial Day weekend. Please take a couple of minutes and remember Memorial Day is not about hot dogs and cookouts and the beginning of summer. No, it is actually remembering those Americans who have died in combat. 3-4-5-11-40. Jill, been a long time.
Oh, has it? Oh, well, I think of that about what is happening in Washington State. It kind of seems to me like a concession to human nature. I mean, we have a whole lot of laws. If somebody punches you, you can't punch him back but so much, and you can do no more than is necessary to prevent his taking your wallet if that's what he was. Come on, you can't defend yourself half-heartedly that way. Well, if you cross the line, you shouldn't. If you cross the line, you shouldn't complain if the guy wipes up the street with you and leaves you with two broken arms and two broken legs.
You know what, Jill? My only concern is how many times you've broken somebody's arm.
Well, I haven't done that exactly. With me, it's hardly ever been one-on-one. It's usually been a bunch of punks mugging me, so it doesn't come out very well. I don't remember ever fighting by prearrangement but once. I won that time. She didn't really amount to much at all. But The thing about it is, when someone crosses the line with me, I don't fight by prearrangement. I can usually afford to take the first punch. I can deliver enough of the others, but I'll be all right.
You know what?
I don't go by the rules of Queensberry, though, and I'm not about to do it.
All right, Jill. Well, you know what? As usual, I enjoyed talking to you. And I heard you cheating on me with In the Garden last week.
Huh? Oh, well, excuse me. I wrote a letter to her. To a doctor column, too, the other day. I don't know if it'll be printed or not.
All right, Jill. Gotta go.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Jordan, I swear to you, every time I talk to her, I'm just a little bit more fascinated.
Yeah.
I mean, she just said, I can take the first punch.
I heard that.
And you know what? I believe her.
Some old ladies, they still got it in them. They don't, you know, they may look old and frail, but they could still whoop your tail.
Well, you got to think, you know, Jill comes from a different time, and, you know, she used to run a hot dog stand, so you know she was dealing with punks all the time. All right, I will let that go. Wow. 345-1140 is the phone number. Remember, like I was saying, please take the time, you know, slide by. The war memorial, I went last year and the year before, and I hope to make it up there today. And the goal is to go to Rolling Thunder. I'll admit my shoulder is giving me a little bit of trouble. That's my own fault, trying to get too healthy too quick. That's a story for later. So I have noticed one thing about yours truly is I burn really, really hot. I do have high blood pressure. I am working on it. It's one of the reasons I'm trying to lose weight. It's one of the reasons I drink less. It's one of the reasons I quit smoking. My blood pressure is ridiculous. Yes, I know I'm supposed to be on meds. Yes, I'm going to the doctor on Tuesday. I got to get back on them. But, you know, generally speaking, men do burn hotter than women. Is when women say, oh, it's so much harder for me to lose weight. And it is, genetically speaking, it is, because different metabolisms. Okay, look, there are differences, whether you like it or not. But it wasn't until the other day that I saw this story, and it really did get me thinking. And I, you know what, I'm a fair person. I believe in being fair, being nice. That's the way my mama raised me, and as you know, she's a big supporter of me here on the phone, on the radio. So I read this, and I did go looking for quite a few versions of this story. I wanted to make sure it wasn't just a one-off. Sometimes it's just better to hedge your bets to make sure that you're not saying something that you shouldn't be. I went all through and found quite a few respectable sources for this story, and I'm going to read the one from the New York Times, which is a newspaper I never read, by the way. New York Times is written on like a ninth grade level. It's a very hoity-toity. I know you're thinking, ninth grade, big deal. Oh, there is really a difference. And here is the story. Battle of the thermostat. Cold rooms may hurt women's productivity. It is truth universally acknowledged, or at least much discussed in social media, that a woman who works in an office is in want of a sweater. You know what? Absolutely true. Office air conditioning is often set at a temperature there that women find chilly. The resulting water cooler debate has been called the battle of the thermostat. One study even suggests that because women have slower metabolic rates, the formula used to set temperatures in the workplace, which is developed decades ago based on the comfort of men. Think about it. There was a time there was a lot more men in the workplace than there were women, which was developed decades ago based on the comfort of men, may overestimate women's body heat production by 35%. A question that hasn't been asked much, however, is whether the temperature affects the productivity of men and women differently. In a study published Wednesday in the Journal of PLOS-ONE, researchers reported that at colder temperatures, men score higher than women on verbal and math tests. But as a room grew warmer, women's scores rose significantly. The findings require further confirmation under a sort of conditions, but they add to a scientific rethinking of the spaces where we work and study, which sometimes have been devised with a limited set of physical requirements in mind. The researchers asked more than 500 college students to take tests for an hour in rooms with temperatures between 61 and 90 degrees Fahrenheit. The students performed as many simple math problems without help from the calculator as possible. Okay, wait a minute. Kids do math without calculators? That's pretty awesome. I don't know many that could do that. As possible, and rearrange a set of letters into many words as they could in a limited time. They also were asked to solve a series of tricky problems. The temperature had no effect on the scores when they were considered as a group, but when the researchers split the data between male and female subjects, a clear pattern emerged. Scores on logic problems did not vary as temperature changed, but the math and verbal scores did. If temperatures are cold, men are better than women, said Angela Kavadic, a behavioral economic research. So there is a gender gap. She added when temperatures increase, the gender gap disappears on math tests and women outpace men in the verbal test. For each increase of 1.8 degrees, women's math scored rose by 1.76%. So what they're saying here, and I find this absolutely fascinating because, you know, I know how I like to keep, okay, my truck. Or, you know, the house at Casa de McCann. And like I said, last night I put a window air conditioner in my bedroom. Even in the wintertime, my personal comfort level, and especially since I do run very, very hot, I keep it downright chilly in the house. I've noticed that, you know, in wintertime, I might use a sheet because I'm keeping it warmer, but I'm very, very hot. I keep it warmer in the wintertime because I know my wife is going to be cold. And she'll be as hot, it'll be hot as blazes in my bedroom, our bedroom, excuse me. And she's still under, you know, a sheet, a blanket, and a comforter. I'm lucky if I can survive underneath a sheet. Last night, I tried to get it cold because I was dying. And even as cold as I got it, she is still wrapped up like a gerbil in a nest, and I'm just under a sheet. I got to figure out a way to balance this out. Now, as far as the workplace is concerned, there is a way to make this work for both of the genders. If they're saying that women in warmer temperatures and men in colder temperatures perform differently, there's a couple of options, because I've been thinking about this a lot. Now, one thing they don't really bring up in this one, I read another one, is that, remember, men, and it did say in this was decades ago that they came up with this, men wore suits nonstop. In fact, in most of your professional business, they still do. I cannot wear a suit. Hardly ever. And if I do, I have to make sure that I've got a heavy undershirt and realize that dress shirt is going to the cleaners. Okay, Dennis Edwards. I take it we have some more information.
Oh, yes, we do. We have a great deal of information.
Breaking
Richard.
News right here on News Radio WRVA. Can we push the break a little bit? Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, what is the situation, sir?
Well, what we have is that Nestle has been taken into custody down in the Raleigh area at this point, and that he is facing charges, first-degree murder charge in the death of the Cumberland man, whose name has not been identified at this point. But at this point, they're still questioning him in reference to the disappearance of the young lady we've been talking about, Fabian. They haven't been able to find her. He's being questioned. They found him. As you said earlier, there was
a third vehicle.
Yeah, he did that. And basically all of this has happened in the last few hours. We got a news release from the Cumberland County Police Department or County Sheriff's Office saying that this morning from North Carolina that he was taken into custody. Nestle was wanted for the murder of a Cumberland County man with the assistance of the state police. They go on to tell us exactly what happened from the beginning with this whole thing. But we did find out that he had stolen the third vehicle in North Carolina. Later that night, he was involved in the pursuit with the Raleigh Police Department. And North Carolina police took Nisley into custody. He's being held on a first-degree murder charge from Cumberland County. Additional charges are pending. Now, the request of the Cumberland County Sheriff's Department is that the state police they issued that critically missing report earlier. But the questioning at this point, when it comes down to Nisley, is about what happened to her, where she is, and I mean, what's going on
because,
with her.
Because, you know, pending charges would be definitely carjacking and kidnapping. Yeah. Well, potentially kidnapping.
Yeah.
I mean, there is always the slim possibility she went along with it.
We'd have to find out what's going on right now, because the problem is that Amy Renee Fabian has not been found. And
right.
The vehicle that he initially carjacked, you see, he carjacked that vehicle.
And that's not been found.
And that's not been found. So where she is and where the vehicle is that they were originally leaving the area in is a major issue at this point. They can't make determinations on charges about that until they find her and find the car.
Now, you've been doing this a long time. Who has jurisdiction here? Raleigh?
Raleigh does at this point.
This point. Okay.
It's crossed the state line. So they're going to have jurisdiction at this stage. And what's happened is that the Raleigh police have notified the Cumberland County authorities that they have this guy in custody. So it goes along those lines, but they've got to backtrack now. They've got to find her, and they've got to find the vehicle, and hopefully they find her safe at this point. And once they are able to do that, then you know what other charges you're dealing with. But it is an amazing story. It has been developing rapidly, and apparently it's been developing since last night. No indication that he apparently tried to confront the folks who were down there, the police department down there.
So they caught him, and he, from what we know, he just gave up.
From what we're able to determine, he basically was taken into custody, and they kept him and are holding him on the first-degree murder charge. There is a mystery at this point about who the person was that was killed, who lived in the house with Fabian, what the relationship was at the time or is, and how this thing developed. Because as you mentioned earlier, the police department did know she was abducted. And there is there are questions about whether or not she's the person who made the call, or whether or not somebody else made it, or it's possible that she could have talked to someone who then called the police. We have to wait until this picture takes a little clearer development at this point.
Dennis Edwards, thank you for keeping us up on this story.
Sure.
Keeping that finger on the pulse of the news. My name is Richard McCann, and this is, as we said, News Radio WRVA. Rich McCann, News Radio WRVA. Thanks again, Dennis, for keeping us up on this story. I know there's several people that don't like when I do that. They're like, oh, keep it to the home improvement. You know what? This is a home show. There's a lot more to life than just, you know, fixing a sink. And things that affect us as a community, as a county, a city, a state. We're Virginia. We're the South. We're the East Coast. You see what I'm saying here? You take some of us and go to the West Coast, totally different people. So I want to end the show with this, if I may. It is Memorial Day weekend, and I wanted to really, really get into it. Just, you know, take a moment, because it's not that old of a holiday, but it's not that new of a holiday at the same time. And people do forget what it's about. By the way, someone called me up and said, don't forget to put out your flags. I agree. But remember, if you do not have a light on your flag at night, you're still supposed to bring it in. Nobody does, but that's part of flag etiquette. So, Memorial Day. Where does it come from? And this is, I got this from History.com, History Channel. Memorial Day is an American holiday observed on the last Monday of May, honoring the men and women who died while serving the U.S. military. Memorial Day 2019 occurs on Monday, May 27th. Originally known as Decoration Day, originated in the years following the Civil War and became an official federal holiday in 1971. A year before I was born is when Memorial Day became a federal holiday. I guess I'm sure people think it's been around longer than that. Many Americans observe Memorial Day by visiting cemeteries or memorials, holding family gatherings, participating in parades. Unofficially, it marks the beginning of summer. Yeah, we know that. Early observances of Memorial Day, the Civil War, which ended in the spring of 1865, we're in the South, we all know that, claimed more lives than any conflict in U.S. history and required the establishment of the country's first national cemeteries. This means cemeteries that the federal government had to pay for. By the late 1860s, Americans in various towns and cities had begun holding springtime tributes to these countless fallen soldiers, decorating their graves with flowers and reciting prayers. It is unclear where exactly the tradition originated. Numerous different communities may have independently initiated the memorial gatherings. Nonetheless, in 1866, the federal government declared Waterloo, New York, the official birthplace of Memorial Day. Waterloo, which first celebrated the day in May 5, 1866, was chosen because it hosted an annual community-wide event during which businesses closed and residences decorated the graves of soldiers with flowers and flags. In May 5, 1868, General John A. Logan, leader of the Organization of Northern Civil War Veterans, called for a nationwide day of remembrance later that month, the 30th of May, 1868, as designated the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, hamlet, country yard in the land. Remember, it covered the whole country, as big as it was. The day of decorating day, as it called, was chosen because it wasn't the anniversary of any particular battle. Memorial Day as Decoration Day gradually came to be known, originally honored only those who lost while fighting the Civil War, but during World War I, originally it just covered the people that lost. But during World War I, the United States found itself embroiled in another major conflict, and the holiday involved to commemorate American military personnel who died in all wars. For decades, Memorial Day continues to be observed on May 30th, the date Logan had selected for the day Decoration Day. But in 1868, Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which established Memorial Day as the last Monday in May in order to create a three-day weekend for federal employees to change, went into effect in 1971. The same law also declared Memorial Day a federal holiday. I guess what I'm saying here, folks, is, I do a podcast called Beer with Vets. I have a grandfather who died recently, 2 or 3 years ago, and it's the first military funeral I ever went to. I have a friend of mine who volunteered to be part of the detail that if a soldier was killed in combat in our current wars, plural, he and another soldier had to go and contact the family. This is a much more important holiday than people make it out to be. And I'm not telling you to change anything. I don't want you to change a thing. I want you to enjoy your beginning of your holiday. I want you to enjoy this beginning of spring. I want you to get together with family and friends. I want all of that. But I would also like you to take a moment. That's all. Just a moment to remember how the holiday got started and why it is still important today. I didn't serve in the military. Didn't. My brothers did. I have two of them. Both served in the Air Force. I have talked to soldiers, airmen, Marines, reservists. I've talked to people that served in Desert Storm that are still dealing with it. I know a young man that has a broken back because of what he did in the military. I talked to a captain of a B-52 bomber that went 115 missions over Vietnam. Oh, and by the way, he still wants to kick McNamara's butt. So take some time, just a moment, that's all. Put out the flags, be respectful, and then you know what? Cook a hot dog for me. I like them a little darker than most people, and I'm not allowed to have a bun. Bummer. No bun. I'd kill for a potato bun. Maybe. No, I'm pretty sure I would. So that's it. Again, this story I found on the History Channel. You can check it out. Show it to your kids. You know, maybe they don't know what's going on. Education is very important. I can't say that I was really, anybody spent really any time whatsoever when I was younger in my education telling me what Memorial Day was. All I knew growing up, even into a teenager, probably later than that, is something about soldiers and we're having a cookout. That's what I got out of it. Things change. We grow. We learn. Want to thank again Dennis for keeping us up with this story. WRVA will keep you abreast of what happens as it breaks. I want to thank everybody that called in. For all of you that are traveling, please, for my sake, for your sake, for everybody part of the Home Show family, please be careful. Take your time. Again, there's going to be a huge amount of motorcycles on the road. I mean a ridiculous amount. This is going to be the last Rolling Thunder, and they are going to be heading from all over going to D.C., and then they're going to have to come home. So remember, we can see you, but I don't know if you can see us, so please be careful. The life you save might be mine. Jordan, are you going to have do anything special for Memorial Day?
I have a couple of friends that are going to be hanging out by the pool and having a cookout and stuff, but I'm hoping I can maybe go to the Virginia War Memorial program on Monday morning.
If you've never been, it is
fantastic. Oh, it is. It is. I've been.
Very moving. All right, son, let's get out of here. That is another Home Show in the can, burnt to a disc and put neatly in a shoebox underneath my mama's bed. I want to thank Jordan for getting up early and pushing all the right buttons. I want to thank Dennis Edwards for keeping his finger right on the pulse of the news. My name is Richard McCann. Follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. Remember, I'm here every Saturday, 6 to 8, 10 till noon. To all of our fallen soldiers, I salute you on this Memorial Day.
Paya! I say a wanya! A paya!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.